Thank you, Sam. Thank you, Sam. Thank you so much. Morning, everybody. Wow, it's good to see you. Good to be here on this Sunday morning to be able to celebrate on All Saints Sunday. And what a special time that is to read those names and to remember the lives of those persons that have meant so much to us. And what a blessing that is to be able to light these candles in their memory. There's couple things I want to say before we jump right in. In your bulletin, there's another insert about, the coat drive at the Ark. And I can't remember what's on the other side of that. What's on the other side? Oh, yeah, the Thanksgiving meal with how to bring food for that. Yeah, don't forget that. That'd be really good. Just remember those two things. And then one other thing, we're going to do Thanksgiving again for the families of Spring Meadows. And if you have any interest in helping with that, Jay and Shelley, raise your hand. Okay, there. And Vicky is right here. Raise your hand. Those are the folks to see if you'd like to jump in and help with that. I know they would love to have your help and love to have your assistance. So I think there'll be maybe a sign-up sheet next week and next couple of weeks to have that all set up and figure all that out. But we're excited to be able to offer Thanksgiving for the families of Spring Meadows and maybe our community as well. So that's a pretty cool thing that we get to do and get to be part of. So I hope that you'll jump in and be part of that as we think about that for the future. By the way, I want to tell you, the ladies yesterday, right as of yesterday, the total of sales, yesterday this was transformed absolutely into a winter wonderland and a Christmas wonderland, and they raised about $6,500 yesterday. And praise God, yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. Now, if you walked in and closed your eyes, you didn't see anything that was in the lobby, right? Or if you came in another door. But listen, if you still are interested, if you didn't get a chance to be here yesterday, there's a lot of stuff out there that you can still buy. I think there's even some desserts and that kind of thing. So don't be shy. Don't hold back. Go on out there and after service today, and they take checks. They take credit cards even. So it's all good. By the way, I want you to know what the money's being used for. Hopefully, between Thanksgiving and Christmas of this year, all the funds that they have raised, not only this year but in the past couple of years, are going to be used to do a new floor for us in the sanctuary. So we're really excited about that and excited about what that's going to look like. And our trustees are working on that. So that's what those funds are going for. So again, go spend and have a great time doing that. Let's pray together. God, you know, we're about to take a look into your word. And what I know, God, is that your word is sharp and it's active. It's like a two-edged sword and it pierces to our very inner being. And that'd be my prayer for today, that it would pierce us to the core, to help us to grow up, to be better, to follow you closer. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, if you watch the news at all, if you have an app on your phone that you get news daily, or if you some other source of getting news, you know that we live in a world that there's not a whole lot of hope that's given in the news. Mostly what we see in the news is bad stuff. Mostly what we see is people going through tragedy, experiencing hard times in their life and tough moments, and it's not a lot of, you know, we see it in the political realms. We see, and it's just, sometimes it's awful. I mean, sometimes there'll be nights that Diana and I will watch the news and it's like the whole first 15 minutes of the news is just like, really, what else bad could happen? I mean, and you know how that is. We live in that kind of a world. And the other thing is, one of the things that I've learned in ministry over the years is that facing death is really hard. And there are those of us in this room that are closer to that than some others. Some of us here are struggling and have struggled with and continue to struggle with the despair and the reality of separation. And that's hard. There's very little hope in the midst of that. I mean, it's hard to get through that. It's hard to work our way. Some people describe that as darkness that's over the top of them, or discouragement. Or some people say, you know, it's hard for me to get up in the morning when I don't have that person next to me. You know, some of us have experienced that. Some of us know what that's all about. Some of us far more than others. Death is hard. I remember when my own dad died. I mean, those were hard moments. And then we've experienced that in our own family. And those have been tough times. I can't tell you how many funerals I've done in the years of ministry that I've been part of. And there are some that are easier than others. If funerals can be easy, there are some that are easier than others. Some, there's just no hope. There's no hope expressed, no hope found, no matter what you say. It's incredible. I mean, it's like, what can we say that makes it better? Grief is a crazy thing. Yeah, a few moments ago, we read the names of seven persons, and then five more, and then we all know that grief is a crazy thing. All of us here have, at some point in our lives, realized the enormity of grief, and we know that those toughest moments of life are incredibly real. So the question for me is, I thought about that, and I thought about today being All Saints Sunday, is how do we find that bright hope for tomorrow? How do we find that, the bright hope for tomorrow? How do we go about that? How does that happen in our lives where we actually have hope again? How do we discover the brightness in a new day as we think about the tomorrows of life? And I've got to tell you, I say this quite often. There's one place I know to find hope. One place. I mean, you can search in a lot of different books. You can search in a lot of different places. You can talk to a lot of different people. But there is one place that I know for certain that you can find hope. And it's in the pages of this book. What I know is that in the pages of this book, there is a bright hope for tomorrow that's talked about, that's shared, that said, look, if you just live it out like this, it works. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. I want to talk about a bright hope that in the midst of All Saints Sunday, that we can have a bright hope for tomorrow. And I want to talk about how we can make that happen. And I think there are two mindsets that we can come up with that talk about this bright hope and help us, give us guidance as we look for a bright hope. And it's in your bulletin, that scripture passage that's there. So if you've set your bulletin aside, or, you know, grab your bulletin back, or if you've got your Bible with you and you want to look at your Bible, that's cool. It's out of Psalm 62. This two mindsets that David talks about, that in the midst of his own tragic moments, listen, David wrote these words in the midst of his own tragedy. David wrote these words to Psalm 62 while his son was at odds with him, his very son. He was rebelling against him. They were having a really hard time together. And David sat down and penned the words of Psalm 62 that we're going to look at in just a moment. But David says, all right, here, listen. Here's the way that you can find hope for life, hope for living beyond this day, is to find a time and a way to be quiet with God. Find a way to be quiet with God, to wait quietly. Now, listen, two things about that statement. Number one, most of us aren't very good at waiting, right? Let's be honest. And number two, most of us aren't very good at being quiet. Not really. I mean, really. We live in a world where it seems like it's constant noise. I mean, it's constantly being bombarded by something. You know, it's text messages, it's phone calls, it's televisions on, it's multitasking, it's TV ads, it's Facebook posts, and that we can't let them go, we gotta respond to them when we probably shouldn't. You know, there's tweets and alarms and there's interruptions, there's this constant bombardment that, how do you find quiet in the midst of that? We live in a noisy and incredibly distracting world. But listen, we're not the first ones to ever face that. Listen, Jesus, in Mark's gospel, Jesus has just finished ministering, touching people's lives, healing people. Crowds of people were coming in waves to Jesus and his disciples. I mean, it was one crowd after another. They were just wave after wave after wave of people coming to Jesus because they wanted to be healed. They wanted some experience with Jesus. They wanted to know who this Jesus was. They wanted to see him in action. And it was just constantly being bombarded. There was no quiet in his life or in the lives of the disciples. So in Mark's gospel, Jesus says, wait a minute. All right, we got to hit pause. We've got to hit the pause button. So he says these words. This is in the gospel of Mark. Let's go off by ourselves to a quiet place and rest for a while. Let's go off by ourselves to a quiet place and rest a while. Quiet is good. It's good for our souls. It's a good place for us to be able to find hope, to restore hope, to have it renewed in our lives. Let's go off by ourselves to a quiet place and rest for a while. Life was so crazy, so distracted. Then David, as I said a few moments ago, he was in this constant battle with his son, and it was just constant craziness. And listen to the words of Psalm 62. It's right there in your bulletin. Listen as I read these words. This is, wow. Verse 1. I wait quietly before God. Now notice the next words. Because, you know, sometimes we say, well, okay, I can wait quietly before God, but, you know, I'm still going to, at the end of that quiet, it's still going to be crazy, right? Listen to what he says. I wait quietly before God, for my victory comes from Him. My victory comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress where I will never be shaken. Now listen, let all that I am wait quietly before God. There are twice in just a couple of verses. Why? For my what? Hope is in Him. When life gets nuts, when life gets crazy, when life is full of grief, when life is full of pain, when life is full of heartache, my hope is in Him. Our hope is in Him. But we've got to learn to wait quietly before God. So how do we do that? How does that happen? How do we find quiet in our day? Well, interestingly enough, this week I thought, I'm gonna just do a Google search. And I'm gonna put in this Google search the words peace and quiet. how many hits do you think there are on Google for the words peace and quiet? Anybody want to take a guess? Come on, somebody. What? 2 million? That's not even in the ballpark. 49 million pages on peace and quiet. I didn't look at all 49 million. Didn't even start. But I found one. I found one that said, here's a 10-step guide to peace and quiet. And I thought, well, that looks interesting. 10 steps. I mean, who can't do one or two of those, right? So I thought, well, I'm not going to share even all 10 of them, but maybe one or two work. And then I read a quote from Henry Nouwen. Henry Nouwen's a great theologian. And Henry Nouwen said, well, listen to this. Henry Nouwen says, our lives often feel like overpacked suitcases, bursting at the seams. In fact, we're almost always aware of being behind schedule. There's a constant nagging sense that there are unfinished tasks, unfulfilled promises, unrealized proposals. There's always something else. So even in the midst of our search for peace and quiet, even one of the greatest theologians of ever says, look, there's always something else. There's always something competing for peace and quiet. But in this article, there were two suggestions. I'm just going to throw them out there. You might want to write them down on your bulletin, or just write them in your Bible somewhere. But here were two that I thought, well, this would probably work. One was this. And this would be hard. I'm just telling you, this is not going to be easy. I'm going to warn you ahead of time. Take your phone, put it on silent. Not on vibrate. You know there's a silent setting, you know that, right? Where it doesn't do anything except emergencies. Put it on silent. Set it across the room for 1 hour. Every day. And during that hour, take that time and be with God. Now, how cool is that? Now, some of you are saying, whoa, an hour? Pastor Mike, come on, be real. Really? I got way too much to do. Now, listen, honestly, we're doing too much if we don't have time for God. 1 hour a day to be with God. That's just one suggestion. Spend some time reading. Spend some time in His Word. Spend some time thinking and meditating. And maybe even the last 15 minutes of that time, write a prayer to God. Take a journal. You know, if you want to see somebody that doesn't like the journal, you're looking at him. No, that's not my favorite thing to do. But listen, I'm telling you, I did this once. And man, it was unbelievable. I'm like, this is, wow. You want to find hope in the midst of craziness? Learn to be quiet. Learn to sit with God. Here's the second suggestion, was to take one evening a week and retreat from television or computers or any kind of social media. That's a tough one too, right? Because we're addicted to television, and we're addicted to social media, and we're addicted to our phones and our computers. But the idea is just, okay, we want to find quiet time before God. We want to be able to get hope in the midst of craziness in our lives. This is a way to do it. Retreat from any distraction for one night and spend it with God. See what happens. That's just two ideas out of this article. And here's what I know for sure. You know, if we don't commit to something, we won't do anything. So, I mean, it's just an idea. Couple ideas. If we want to be able to restore hope, if we want to find this bright hope for tomorrow, you know, those are two options, two things that we can do. Well, here's another thing that David says. The second mindset that he talks about. One is to just find quietness before God. The second one is to learn to trust Him at all times. Learn to trust Him at all times. Now, this too has its challenges. Because we say, oh yeah, I trust God. Until life falls apart. Until we get tossed around like dish rags. Then it's a little tough to trust Him, right? How many of you have ever done a trust fall? You ever been on like a low ropes course and done a trust fall? Let me tell you about my trust fall experience. I was at Aldersgate Camp. I was the dean of the middle school camp. Okay? Middle school. Middle school. And we were on the low ropes one day, and we had this trust fall thing, and everybody says, you know, trust fall, let's all do the trust fall. And you say, ready, and they say, you know, they're all standing there. There's about eight of them. I think eight of them, four to a side. They all stand there, their arms open like this, and that you say, you stand up on this platform that's about this tall off the floor, and you say, ready, and they say, fall away. When you're 85 pounds, and you know that the dean of the camp and counselors are there to catch you, it's one thing. When you're my size, and there's little pipsqueaks about to catch you, it's a whole different animal. And I said, ready. And they said, fall away. Now there's eight middle schoolers. In my mind, I'm thinking, this probably really isn't a good idea. The fall part's not going to be so bad. It's that sudden stop when I hit the ground. That's when it's going to really hurt. But I fell. And they caught me. Those eight little dudes caught me. And all of a sudden, it clicked in my mind. Isn't that what God asks us to do every day? Isn't that it? I mean, we stand on this, we stand on the ledge, and we say, ready. God, we're ready for life. God, I'm ready to do this. God, I'm ready to face tomorrow. And he says, fall away. Away, whoa, God. I didn't really mean that. You see, I got these plans for today. And I want to do what I want to do. And I got stuff I need to do today. I got to go there, and I got to go here, and I got to do this, and I got to do that. Have I never told you? I think I have. You know what God does when we say, hey, God, I've got a plan? God laughs. When you want to make God laugh, tell him you've got plans. Our plans are crazy compared to his. Listen, Jeremiah 29, the children of God were exiled. And listen to what he says to them. Listen, when we humbly submit ourselves, when we say, God, I am ready to fall into your arms. I don't know what today's going to bring. I don't know what the next minute's going to bring. But I'm going to fall into your arms today. When we humbly submit ourselves and our lives and our plans, listen to what Jeremiah says to the children of Israel who had no idea what the next day was going to bring. Listen to this. Jeremiah 29, 10 and 11. For thus says the Lord, only when Babylonian 7 years are completed will I visit you. And I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for your welfare. And not to harm you, but to give you a future. And to give you hope. Isn't that cool? That's awesome. And listen to this, the last couple verses that are in your bulletin. Verses 7 and 8 of Psalm 62. My victory and honor has come from God alone. He is my refuge, a rock where no enemy can reach me. Oh, my people, do what? Trust in him when? At all times. Ready? Fall away. Fall away into the arms of God. That's what we can do. If we want a sense of hope renewed, if we want to have a bright hope for tomorrow, if we want to be excited about what God's going to do, it's to fall into his arms. It's to have that time of quiet before God so that when we get ready to face trials, when troubles come, when hard times come, when heartache comes, then we say, wait a minute. God is my rock. God is my salvation. I know what the book says. I know what the end says. We have victory in him. We have victory in him. Would you pray with me? God, we are so grateful today just to be part of something that's so amazing. We are so blessed to be part of your kingdom. And God, when times get crazy, when times get hard, help us to remember how to be quiet. Help us to remember to trust you. To hear you say, fall on, fall away. And know that you're going to catch us. And we love you and we praise you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.